Good morning, this is Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater. Just when you thought you were finally done with the show, we're back. I have some delightful ladies on this morning, Carol Adcock and Mishy McCoy of Defining Design, using art in interior and exterior design, which is actually located in Fuquay Arena, North Carolina, on here with me this morning. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And also have the fellow I often have on with me, Bob Crowley, president of the Apex Arts Council on, who is also a historian.
Good morning, Claudio.
And of course, you told me this morning was Guy Fawkes Day.
That's right. That's it's Guy Fawkes Night tonight. Must get out there, make your guy, and put out all the fireworks and everything else if you live in Britain or a British possession. This is commemorating the gunpowder plot that almost destroyed Parliament
That's
in
right.
1605. So,
and what was that film they put out recently? There was some kind of a Guy Fawkes movie.
I don't remember it very well myself, but it was kind of interesting. I know for a long time the celebration of Guy Fawkes Night was mandated by British law. I think it was up
yes.
until 1858. So, so I know Claudio remembers that from being in South Africa, and it would have been celebrated down there as well. But it's a fun thing. It's some people say it's the British equivalent of Halloween, but not quite. It's close though, and we're gonna celebrate that. Maybe tonight we'll go out and do something.
Good.
Right? Okay.
Well, let's touch it off with the ladies. Just introduce Designing Design very quickly, and then we're gonna go to a little music, and we'll level things out here this morning. Sorry about that anticipatory energy this morning. We're trying to get the system running, as frequently happens here on WCOM, but we're getting there.
To tell you about Defining Design, we are a design studio who does interior design and landscape design with lots of local art and international art, and put all of our skills to make beautiful homes and beautiful outdoor rooms and beautiful spaces.
I've seen your model, the shop that you operate out of, and it's gorgeous.
We do love our studio. Carol and I both formed this company and took an old farmhouse and retrofitted it. As many situations, it is a work in progress, as many homes are.
Mm-hmm.
So we continue to improve it and make it more beautiful, and we do love coming to work.
It's gorgeous. You just had an artist's affair out there. Tell us about that.
We did. We had our third art show on our grounds out there. We're located on Sunset Lake Road in Fuquay.
Mm-hmm.
We have an acre of property that our studio sits on. And this is our third show, and I think our best to date. We've had a lot of good, interesting local artists.
I heard you had a good turnout.
We did. And we like to have a nice show. Mishy and I like to make it nice. So we had a nice seafood restaurant from Apex. And
you've always got food out there. I didn't
food
notice that.
And drink
yes.
and drink. And the Aviator Brewery out of Fuquay partners with us. And
good.
They've been very nice. And a good crowd, too.
And, of course, the Apex Arts Council partners as well.
That's right.
Of course.
I'll put the whole thing on.
Got to get my plug in.
Yes.
Well, let's take a moment of some jazz music while I design the origin of this particular show. Sorry, ladies.
Thank you.
And once again, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theatre. Sorry for the earlier tumult. I had to get my head back in shape and get all the gears working. This is WCOM 103.5 FM. I'm in the studio with Carol Adcock and Mishy McCoy of Defining Design, and we're going to elaborate on that just a little more now that I'm feeling a little smoother than I was earlier. Welcome back, ladies, and I apologize for my earlier discombobulation.
No problem.
I'm actually interested in both your backgrounds and how you met originally. So how about we start with you, Carol? Give us your background, where you're from. The Adcock name is certainly a name that is known around these parts. Give us some of that history.
Okay, thank you. I'm originally from the Pittsburgh area, and I went to college at West Virginia University, where I studied interior design. I moved to Raleigh shortly thereafter. And
this was when?
In 1988.
Okay. I remember that year.
And working in furniture stores, I actually met my husband. He was one of my customers, and he bought our kitchen table. And we got along quite well and whatnot. And I moved to Fuquay.
Is this the kitchen table you're still using today?
Yes, it is. And I am not allowed to replace it either.
Fantastic.
Even if we
That's
need more room, he will not replace that, which is quite sweet and sentimental. But after we were married and he was building his business, Adcock's Nursery, which is a wholesale plant nursery.
It's quite well known, too.
It is. It's a high-end quality plant source.
Mm-hmm.
I followed him around the house one day and I said, "Don't you need someone to do sales for you?" And so finally, you know, he said, "Okay." So I started doing sales for him until we had a family, and then we had a family, started a family. And once I started working again, I was working out of a little window treatment shop in Willow Spring, and in comes Mishy. So I was going to an ASID, American Society of Interior Design, meeting that evening. So I called Mishy, and I said, "Mishy, would you like to join me?" And she said, "Sure." So then I'll let her take it from there.
We met and liked each other. I went to the meeting with Carol, and after the meeting was over, it was still early, so she agreed to come back to my house where I was working as a freelance designer since my move to North Carolina.
Which was when?
I moved here in 2009.
And you came this way from St. Louis? Or?
I came from St. Louis, Missouri. I'd been there for many, many years, although I was born and raised in South America because my father was in the Foreign Service. But Carol and I hit it off, and she oohed and awed over my fabric samples.
Ah, nice. And there are something.
And the lovely surroundings that interior designers get to work with.
Oh,
and
that's true, yeah.
It was nice for me because to find a kindred spirit, and we discovered that we are in many ways two peas in a pod. We think a lot alike in our design techniques and our design outlook. And we like to do things that not everybody else does. We want to show people that you don't have to have your home look like that what the department stores or the retail furniture stores tell you it has to.
Mm-hmm.
We want to do it in a way that is beautiful, comfortable, practical, and reflects the personality of our clients.
Very individual, yes.
Very individual, yes.
Mm-hmm. I did notice that, and I noticed that was one of your strong points with anyone that you have in, the individuated aspect. Always like that word, individuated.
It's a great word.
So, Bob, give us a bounce over here very quickly about what's going on with things other than Guy Fawkes, the Apex Arts Council, for example.
Well, you mean after I finished collapsing after the show on Saturday and putting that all together and making it work? And it was really a great show. We had 22 artists there, and I figure we had maybe 200 people come through, so it was pretty good. But next thing for us is our holiday and winter art show.
Mm-hmm.
That will come up. We'll hang that at the end of this month. I'm just waiting for our artists to start submitting works. That will be in downtown Apex. And anybody who's interested can come and walk through. We'll have forms up on the wall to make it a bit of a silent auction, and you can buy some extra paintings or other hanging art for your walls for the holiday season. And that is not just Christmas. I mean, that's probably the one that most people do, but whatever holiday suits your fancy will be up there on the wall. So that's and that probably be the last one we do for this year, because I want to have some fun too. But then into next year, we have a couple of things going. We'll have our regular shows.
You can ease up on that projection a little, son.
Okay,
you're coming through loud and clear.
All right. Well,
That's okay. Oh, that's right. Bob doesn't have a headset on. I completely blanked on that.
I'd like to add that our art show was also sponsored by the Fuquay Varina Arts Council and the Holly
wonderful.
Springs Arts Council. And this year we had all three of those arts councils featured as our sponsors. And we also had Pineville Rug Gallery out of Pineville, North Carolina.
Go ahead and grab the mic.
We,
as well as Adcox Nursery, who always sponsors us. Thank you.
Good.
And then the participants and the volunteers that really helped put this show together. It is a lovely show where the art tents and artists are set out on the grounds of the studio. We have beautiful grounds, and we are surrounded by Adcox Nursery, so
yes.
Our views are spectacular. And the day was also.
Yes.
So it was, in all, it was a great event.
Good. What are, jumping back to you of defining designs here, what are some of your own artistic influences in your designs? And where did you come up with the idea of you know, taking these designs to the extent of fashioning homes?
I think it starts with a love of beautiful things. I think it starts with picking a direction for our lives when we're in college that we really don't know where it's going to lead us. And then discovering that not only do we love what we do in combining the beautiful things that we get mm-hmm. to work with, and showing clients that they can have a beautiful home. It doesn't have to break the budget. It can be something that is as reasonable as you want it to be, and it can still be beautiful. And why we need to treat ourselves better. We need to live in spaces that make us happy.
I agree.
We need to have homes that are comfortable for us and therefore our guests. And giving that to ourselves allows us to embrace life in a much more pleasant attitude. Wouldn't
Definitely.
You agree,
sort of,
Carol?
Sort of keeps your spirit with you.
I would agree. I would agree 100%. But I think there's also an aspect of it that people don't often think about, and that's somewhat of the scientific area of it. Of course, form always follows function,
mm-hmm.
and less is more, and all those little design catchphrases. But I just was thinking about, I was watching a morning show one time, and there was a story that this color was found to, you know, relieve stress and so on and so forth. And then all the people on this morning show were making fun of it and started laughing about it. And I thought, well, you know, don't they know where the green room came from? You know,
yeah, right.
They're in the business, and, you know, they were just not in our business. But people, I think, often just jump over the real feelings of what color does for you.
Right.
And things of that nature.
Now, with both of you, was designing for the home always part of the goal, or were your designs more open-ended than that? You with your fabrics and so on. Was it always intended for interior decoration, so to speak?
No. I came into interior design I started in interior design and went into fine art. Mm-hmm. And came back to doing interior design by continuing to add aspects of my life and my work. I worked in antique shops, I worked in art galleries, I worked in flooring companies, and I realized that what I was doing was interior design. And so where I had started is where I ended up. But as far as was it my known direction? No, I
not
don't think
time.
That. Not at the time. Mm-hmm. But I just came to find that it is what I love.
What about you, Carol?
Well, I started in engineering, as I have
my goodness
five brothers, and four out of five brothers are engineers. So I thought, oh, maybe I'll just be an engineer. And that didn't work out so well. And I happened to take a class in interior design, and I loved it, and I had fun with it. And so therefore, I made the change. And that was one thing that I want to teach my children, is to find out what they really like,
mm-hmm.
and then do that as their profession. So it's not as much work.
How old
seemingly.
How old are your children at this point?
10 and 13.
So it's a good time to get an idea of what they're becoming fond of. Any signs of direction there?
Not really yet.
I watched a documentary once. I think it was PBS, and it was over the course of 20 years, somebody following children around from the age, and the argument was from the age of 5 or 7 He said, show me a child of seven, and I'll show you the man. And proved a point by whatever these children were, whether they were comic book artists or whatever they were doing at seven, was generally something that translated later in their life as to what they became, from architect to whatever.
Well, I used to rearrange my room a lot.
There we go.
And I think her daughter has certainly some very strong design tendencies.
I can't imagine that not being the case. Yeah,
she has quite a flair for dressing and for opinions about how we should do the studio.
Look out! We might note an element of theater in there too. You never know.
Definitely.
Hit on something there.
Either
go ahead,
that,
Bob.
Or she's going to be a race car driver.
Yeah, right. Well, we're going to go to a moment of radio theater. I think you've got me loaded up there, don't you, Bud? And I would say let's play the first cut. I did a dedication with a dear friend, Jim Beckwith, who's a fine, fine musician, backing me up on this particular cut. This is written to remind people of what happened during Hurricane Katrina, but the musical composition on this was absolutely inspiring. Giving you Mud in Your Eye. If we can get to it. Oops. Hold on one second. Bob, let's go to something historical.
Something historical.
We figure this technology out.
Well, let's see. There's all kinds of historical stuff. I mean, we're coming up into the holidays, so we've got historical things coming up to do with that. Won't be too long. We'll be into Thanksgiving, so all you turkeys out there better start watching out for what's going to happen. Everybody is gathering. Families come together and all like that, so we have our November feasts. And then, of course, that's followed by the year-end holidays as we get closer to Christmas and Hanukkah and all the rest of those
turn
days.
Down the music. We can go ahead and inject that, and let's try and get the recording on.
Okay. We're going to make this happen one way.
Mud in Your Eye. I've been keeping abreast of the storm's raging quest from a bar in the French Quarter of town, while the gales from the west were all doing their best to hail the apocalyptic Katrina aground. Now there's mud in the eye of the sailor tonight, where broken levees have leveled the shore, and with the warnings all out and the natives in flight, the Big Easy ain't easy no more. When the waters rose as high as an elephant's eye, and knives of wind ceased their cutting about, an eerie silence would sigh as the night gave a cry to the voodoo of time running out. All the souls in despair who felt abandoned by care, and whom misfortune did not allow to depart, questioned country and state in this quagmire of fate, and found it best a debatable heart. A generosity grew from much more than a few who accomplished what politicians could not. But before this was true, an unrest would ensue among the ravaged whom time had forgot. A dead body neglect from the governing sect is the talk of all our daily news. With rivers as streets and all disquieting feats, New Orleans is neck deep in her blues. It's a primitive take when your town is a lake, not to mention the neighboring states. There are strange things afloat in a hat and a coat, all abandoned to partisan traits. At Johnny White's on Bourbon Street, we drank warm beer and spooned canned meat, while Lake Pontchartrain cut a brand new loop and turned a cultural gumbo into toxic soup. It was helter-skelter in a stadium for shelter, where Americans were called refugees. They arrived in great number from a wind that drew thunder, and took comfort where there was no aim to please. With a sailboat for a penthouse that drowned out the church mouse, the hurricane blew in some very sad ends. We paid for our choices with ever-weakening voices, resting far too easy on political trends. A government of the rich is a cancerous itch, and reminder that we have all sinned. Like Bob Dylan would say with his nomadic sway, the answer is blowing in the wind. A president touting religion as a special interest stool pigeon may be facing a rising of tides. Ceasing arrogance not, he may soon face his lot, in whom true power and justice resides. Chaos and creation, known as civilization, are subject to a shifting imbalance ashore. A maligned collective neglect always leads to regret. And the Big Easy ain't easy. That was Mud in Your Eye. I wrote that. Actually, it was one of the few pieces that I've written out of anger. I didn't want the American people to forget what happened and how their government failed them, how miserably their government failed them. And that was my reason for making it a memory, and it's gone worldwide at this point. So I don't think anyone will ever forget.
No, we don't want them to.
No. And if you go to New Orleans, you'll find that a lot of those places are still in ruins. So whatever your politicians are telling you, if their lips are moving, don't believe them. That's my take. Anyway, sorry, we are having some real technical difficulties here this morning. No fault of anyone's, so I apologize for any inconvenience to the listener. But I've got these lovely ladies at the helm, and I'm going to bring them right back on. Bill asked an interesting question, and that was what inspired the term the green room, which every stage has, and the entertainers sit and either eat or just socialize in before going on stage. What's your knowledge of that?
The green room is, like you said, before people go on stage, either on television. I don't know if they have them in the theater. Do they have
yes,
them?
Yes, they do.
They
very
do
much
have
so.
Them in
absolutely.
Theater? Okay. All righty.
That's where I always go to steal things from the buffet.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly. Anything to make you comfortable. And the color green will make you comfortable and more calm and more relaxed.
Is it a particular type of green? Because some of the green I've seen in these green rooms does not make me really relaxed.
Just no green M&Ms.
I think it's just the term that's used now, the green room. I think they look all kinds of different ways. But mm-hmm. that's the whole concept of the green room. Mishy?
I think that the knowledge of color has certainly changed over the
right.
years, and the greens that used to be the institution green became something that wasn't very comfortable. So
yeah.
it is a loose term as to whether it really is green anymore.
I've actually noticed that because I have seen purple rooms, but they were still called the green room.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, the term, I think, signifies what it does or where it is more than the color anymore.
Hmm.
But some of the thinking behind it is based on actual studies and research about how people in general react to color. And so that was the original beginning of the green room.
Hmm. It's interesting, you know, when you think of it, psychological translations and the morbid colors they have in most of these mental institutions. I mean, I'm not sure anyone's getting color right. I think the happy colors should be in the most depraved places, like these mental institutions and so on, and they always look the most depressing.
I think that that's a great idea, and I think that what happens with those institutions is somebody donates the colors that don't sell, and that's the why they that end sell, up with these colors that are not very psychologically pleasing.
See how unromantic doing things for economic reasons becomes.
It's true.
That's a very good point. I'm glad that was brought up.
Yeah, but some of it also has to do with, like, if you were to paint a mental institution yellow, that might excite people a little bit more
than
you
want.
Oh.
Like schools, you have the bright lighting and the bright colors so that everybody is awake.
Yeah, right.
You know, so everybody's on their game, so to speak.
And now we have lighting that is changing and the studies on lighting and how the lighting affects people. And the politicians, as you so like to bring up, that that have mandated that we cannot use certain light bulbs anymore and because of energy efficiency. And yet the complaints on CFLs, the complaints on the fluorescent lighting are known to everyone. So
and aren't fluorescent lighting lights known to trigger, what is that? I can't think of it. There's a certain...
You're thinking of seasonal affective disease, the SAD?
Yeah, I can't. I just had a brain freeze. I know that epileptic fits.
Yes, okay. That as well.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
And there's also the thing about the fluorescence being infused with mercury, and you don't want to get that into the garbage in the water table and all
of
that
course,
stuff.
Yeah.
So there's some, you know, trade-offs
hopefully
no matter which way.
We're improving on that.
Yeah.
And interior design and landscape design take all of those things into account. Those are things that we're continually learning. We take classes. We go to CEU classes where we get information so that we can stay current with what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that are coming out are wonderfully innovative, as in self-cleaning tile.
All right.
Which I wouldn't have believed unless I looked up myself and did
explain
some
that theory.
It's a German company that has changed the energy field of the molecules that the glazing that goes on the ceramic or porcelain tile.
Hmm.
And what they found was that the tiles that were being made with standard glazes, although you can't hurt them really, they would water spot. And so they found that by changing the molecular structure.
The molecular, yes.
The water now sheets off instead of spotting and drying so that it's much easier to clean because it doesn't actually stay on the tile. So things are changing rapidly in our world. The innovations, the electronic innovations are affecting everything that we do, and that affects everything in our homes.
Yeah.
Can they do that with kids yet? So we don't have to, or my car, please.
Think Velcro.
Yeah,
okay. Right. What about you, going back to your early, early inspirations? Carol.
You are listening to WCOM. This is your voice in the community.
Sorry.
You're listening to the famous Claudio with his morning show on Tuesday with his famous guests. Claudio is our...
I'm not hearing you.
Claudio is our wonderful... Mm-hmm.
Our wonderful host every Tuesday morning, and he has guests of significant importance, and WCOM is very pleased to have this show today. Our voice in the community is supported by people in the community. You can go to our website, wcomfm.org, and make a safe and secure donation to the station, or you can stop by 300 East Main Street in Carrboro and drop off a check. So, back to Claudio and his very stimulating, interesting, and beautiful guests.
Thank you. And I want to mention that the Apex Arts Council is the supporter of Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater.
Yes, we are.
We're still waiting for the Carolina Theater to kick in. They tell me the check's on the way, so we'll see how true that turns out. Mm-hmm. But actually, they've been my sponsor for the last 3 years. So there was a bit of a drop there for a while because of economic cuts everywhere. So the fish are jumping back in the barrel. We'll see. So why don't we go to a moment of music? Do we have the jazz album on and ready to play? Let's go ahead and just pick cut 3.
Thank you.
This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. I'm here with the ladies of Defining Designs. I'm sorry, Defining Design is what it's called. Actually, I keep thinking plural because you do so many different things. Defining Design, which is based in Fuquay Varina, using art in interior and exterior design. Now, I'm kind of curious about the way you tie that into your landscaping and the exterior elements of the home.
How we started doing landscaping is that I had worked at Adcock's Nursery, and therefore got to learn a large number of plants, how they grow, where they grow, you know. And all I did from that point on is I got interested in doing landscape design, and you take all the design elements from interior design or any design at that point, scale, texture, color, and then you just apply it to the landscape design. And what's kind of cool, really cool about landscape design is that it changes. Right. Where in the fall, your window treatments won't turn brown or red or yellow, whatnot. They stay the same. But in the landscape, it changes. And then there's always that desire to have the feeling as you when you walk into a landscape is what's around that corner. Oh, look over there. Mm-hmm. Not too much of it, but enough to keep drawing you into the space. And that's the same with interiors as well. Wouldn't you say, Mishy?
I would. I think that the design elements that Carol mentioned about the interiors are the same ones that we apply to the exterior rooms that we work on.
And do you try to keep some kind of an influence of that same thing on the interior as well, or do you create sort of two separate passages there?
I think it depends on what the client wants.
Mm-hmm. I can see
but
that.
We have found that we know in certainly in the United States that outdoor living has become more and more important, both with restaurants having outdoor seating. Everybody right. wants to be outside if the weather is nice. So what we do is invite them by the designing that we do with the plants or the exterior spaces. We invite them to spend time in that outdoor space comfortably so that it is as comfortable and as beautiful as it is interior.
Create some kind of an exterior canopy and then a way
and
to
fireplaces
enjoy
and
the
fire
beauty.
Pits so that as the weather cools, you can still be outside and enjoy the rooms that we've created. And as Carol said, to see the difference of the plants and how they grow and how the seasons affect them.
Things to admire, yeah. Bring out some good music and kick back.
Yes.
Have your glass of wine.
Have those refreshments close by and the music and the beautiful scenery, and it becomes a meditation.
No doubt, and which is what it should be. That's I live pretty much in the wilds, but my aspect is very, very meditational. When I'm at home for long periods, I either build something outside or just sit there and soak up the natural element.
I think that really sums up our goal at Defining Design, to make rooms that people really want to spend time in.
Mm-hmm.
That no matter how many beautiful rooms they have in their home, each one is a room that you want to spend time in, that you just want to sit and be at peace in the room.
To sort of explore yourself or explore the home
beauty
environment
of what you
by,
see.
Yeah.
And as Carol suggested with the landscape design, of just what is around the corner. In an interior room, we may have it be more evident, but we don't want any one thing necessarily to stand out. We want the design to be beautiful immediately, and then for the person or the guests to look around and see what exactly is making this room beautiful. And as your eye travels up and down and around the spaces, the colors, the textures, the softness of a sofa, the drape, all of that is pleasing and brings the whole together.
And what I find most interesting, and I try to encourage my clients to do, is as people become more world travelers and living in all over the world in the United States, to collect things that have meaning to them.
Nothing wrong with eclectia.
Yes, and you know, so along with that, that mystique of where what's this or what's around that corner comes a story with it, a unique
of course.
Story.
Conversation pieces, so to speak.
Yes.
It's got to be a pretty challenging aspect these days because so many people just live to go to work and home is pretty much just a roof over your head and something to keep you warm, whereas you're creating an ambiance that makes home much more inviting and makes you want to actually stop and be where you are.
Yes, that's what we want to accomplish. And when you think about your master bedroom where it's the last thing you see before you sleep and the first thing you see in the morning. If it's beautiful, if it brings you pleasure to just be in the space, mm-hmm. then your attitude for the day is going to be so much better. But we tend to work on our public spaces first, because that's what we show our public face to our guests.
True.
If we think about taking care of ourselves, though, and making our private space is beautiful, it gives us a place to come from and face the world and enjoy our work much more and enjoy coming home.
A place that actually refreshes you and reinvigorates you.
Yes, indoors and out.
On many levels. Bob, you had mentioned switching rails here for a second. You had mentioned earlier on that you just had a considerable donation of art, or is that something you're actually ready to reveal as of yet?
Well, I don't mind talking a little bit about it here. We had a fellow in losing Carrie, and his wife was an artist. She passed recently, and he has a good number of works from her, and he asked if the Apex Arts Council might be interested in taking it over as a donation that we could sell or use in shows or whatever. I've agreed to it, and it's turned out to be a lot more than I thought. The woman, the artist, had done clay sculpture fountains. There's some like Goodness. 75 pieces of art, paintings. There are other wall hangings, various and sundry other object art. He and I are now working our way through the inventory, and at some point we'll take it in and probably put it up for sale or auction or something at one of our events. So it's going to be kind of interesting, and see if we can reintroduce this artist to the world. I don't want to drop the name out there yet, because I want to find a little bit more about. But she's won a number of awards at shows all across the United States and Canada. So this is going to be an exciting piece for us.
Sounds like an extraordinary gift.
Oh, absolutely! It's very extraordinary, and if he's listening, I want to thank him for this. I'm going to thank him in person probably tomorrow when I go over to look at the pieces and take pictures and try to figure out where we're going to put it all for a while.
We can certainly bring him on the show sometime and discuss the whole origin of the art.
At some point, we very well may do that and have that happen here. But that's going to be exciting, and we'll see what we can do. We'll probably have a number of pieces at our big spring show, which will come up in May, Artists for Animals, mm-hmm. and we'll
mention where that's going to be again.
That's going to be at B&B's Country Garden Inn in Apex on Kelly Road. It's a great bed and breakfast with some beautiful grounds, and we'll have artists and animals, and maybe if I can cajole him, the great Claudio himself will make a personal appearance, mm-hmm. so that all of his fans can come.
I'll come in by camel, yes.
Yeah, I'll come in by camel.
I'll have that camel walk a mile for me.
Yeah. Either that or I'll parachute you in or something. I don't know. But that could be a lot of fun. We'll be doing that and doing all kinds of fun things here. But I do want to make one mention. We talked about exterior spaces. Mm-hmm. My absolute favorite exterior space in the world is the back porch at Defining Design.
Oh,
and
no
that's
doubt.
Not
it's
to
beautiful.
Be
Absolutely.
Anything that's just like a commercial or whatever. But it's beautiful out there. And if you ever wanted to see what you could do with your exterior space, please just stop by, take a look. Even if you leave 5 minutes later, it's worth it.
You know, I was just
look.
Saying the beauty of the way you have that design and that setup. Any story, any kind of communication that you might be having with someone sitting on the back porch with you, you've created a space that could transport you to any location that your imagination can take you to. So I can easily see that sweeping the conversation so much further because of it.
It's true, and most of the people who come to our studio, that is our final place that we take them on our tour, and it is something that is certainly possible anywhere.
No
all
doubt.
Over the world, and you don't have to have a lot of space. We do have about an acre with our studio, but we can make a little tiny courtyard as welcoming.
And you've even got it set up for a small kitchen out there, out in the open.
It's not so small.
Nice little, yeah, that's true.
Maybe we'll get Chef Claudio out there someday.
Have to come out there and do some
sizzling. We would like to invite you on air to please come and do an event with us with your
chef
skills at using our outdoor kitchen. Our island
you,
is...
You be the pastry chef.
I will be your sous chef.
I decline that? That. There we go. That's it.
We'll let Carol do the pastries.
Wonderful.
Not for the one.
I'm afraid I stayed out of the baking goods when I was apprenticing because I knew I'd be 600 pounds if I didn't. So
I can do the pastry.
Good. Perfect. No, I just I'm glad you brought up that back porch area because it's very seductive. Mm. Beautifully laid out. And of course you're looking
especially
at
with the new deck you haven't seen yet.
Right.
We have expanded and
didn't even realize. I'm still remembering the old one.
Yes, it has gotten better.
Fantastic. Well, any unique situations coming up right now as far as anyone you're designing for, or are you free to mention that sort of thing?
I won't go into too much detail, but yes, we have all of our clients have individual needs and individual mm-hmm. challenges that are really something we look forward to coming up with answers. And my next biggest, I guess, a bigger challenge coming up is I'm going to be working on a home in Switzerland.
That's extraordinary. Yeah.
And so in the next 2 weeks, I'm leaving next week and we'll be working with a woman. I've worked with her before when I was in Basel, Switzerland before, and now they have a child and have bought a house and want to maximize their home and still make it child friendly for their
That's their a very direction. Traditional region, isn't it? Basel.
It is.
Old Switzerland.
It is, yet there's so many expats there from
no
all
doubt.
Over the
yeah.
world.
Yeah.
It is such an international community that some of my clients that I've picked up when I have been there are not only American expats, but from other countries as well.
Hmm. Fantastic. And you have a sister there as well, so.
I have a sister and family who
How long has
there?
It been
yes.
since you've seen each other?
We try to see each other at least once a year.
That's
it's
good.
Been about a year ago I went over to visit, or she'll come to the States with her family mm-hmm. also. I have other sisters in other parts of the world also, so we...
Boy, it's going to take some traveling to keep up with the family.
It does. I have one sister in South America that also lives there permanently. And so, yes, there's always trying to arrange get-togethers for the sisters too.
It's wonderful to have
together.
That choice of geographies.
It is. It is. It can be somewhat challenging for the budget.
No doubt. No doubt. Now, jumping over to you, Carol. I know you both have a similar mindset as far as the kind of designs, but do you necessarily differ in some ways, whereas a client may prefer your vision to her vision, or is it much more of a mutual approach all the way through?
For the most part, it's a pretty mutual approach. She and I are very similar. I think the main difference I can see between us would be in our landscape styles, whereas I will tend to be a little bit more, I don't know, not as English garden-y, like with specimen plants here and there and more of a cohesive, maybe formal look versus
gotcha.
The Mishy is very much informal, and we're collaborating on a client's project right now. And he was a referral from his neighbor, and so I said, Mishy, can you help me with this job? And she said, love to.
All right.
So she started working on it, and I started thinking, that doesn't look exactly like what my the neighbor has. So I brought out my plan, mm-hmm. and I showed her, and so we're like, so it's a very good collaboration
so
to where I could be a little
both?
Bit... Yes, yes. And then, of course, given the options to the client.
Sure.
And we like to give our presentations for, well, everything, but especially the landscape designs at our studio. That way we can show them the drawings and we can go right outside. We have a majority of what we have to offer, the mm-hmm. nursery, planted around the studio. And what we don't have there, we have a short walk down into the nursery so they can see everything and they can say they like it, they don't like it. They don't like it, we just take it on out and
keep
make
trying.
Another selection.
Yeah, right.
Yes, because, you know, everybody's different and it's all based upon the client. Hence, defining design.
There we go, absolutely.
Creating
That's
your
a great
definition
name.
Of home.
Absolutely. Bob, you look like you wanted to add
yeah, I
something.
Just want to jump in with that because...
And Bill, you feel free too.
I'm thinking, you know, if I were to go to visit either of your homes, of course, it looks like Architectural Digest all over, right? Isn't it?
Oh, no.
Of course, of
I wouldn't
course.
Say it's that limited, is it?
This has been a great listening as an outsider here listening to you ladies. I mean, interior design and the outside work, the landscaping. It's everything has to be so well coordinated. And I imagine that as an older person, I would want a different design than a young lady like Carol would want.
No. Actually, not necessarily. And that's
Good
especially
point.
with exterior design. maintenance is something that very few people, unless you are a gardener and love to garden and you have the time to devote to it, most of us want something that is beautiful and does not require a lot of maintenance. And as we age, that's true of our interiors also. But even aside from aging, the trends in design have relaxed. We no longer are doing the formal rooms interiors that we did in the 70s, 80s, and even the 90s. It's available, and there are calls for it on occasion.
And the most important thing that we do at our studio is that we design for you, whether it be traditional, transitional, contemporary. We like all of it, and we think it's all fun. Whereas there are some designers that have a style. And if you're not into that style that he does, yes, you go to this one person to get that style. But with us, we like all of it. So we could do, it doesn't matter how old or young or what your style is, we'd be happy to help.
They've really come some good answers to my question.
No doubt.
Yeah, really. Because I had a house with a lot of, this is talking about the outside, a huge amount of landscaping because my wife loved that. It was too much.
Yes.
We sold it. We're out of there.
Yes.
So now we're in a small apartment and we're concerned with the inside. Now we don't have to worry about the outside. So you folks have such careers. You can cover the whole spectrum, which is really great.
It is. And we are told that it is somewhat unusual for us to be able to do both interiors and exteriors. And that's why we do it.
And I think that flexibility sort of becomes your calling card, the fact that you enjoy it all. Because you're right, there are so many designers that have become sort of lost in being somewhat stoic to, this is what I do. No, I wouldn't touch that, and don't expand into those regions. And I think having that flexibility will keep you a lot more universal. My way of dealing with the exterior is I live in the woods, so the wind can do with the leaves what it may. I don't have to get out there and do anything as long as I keep the interior looking good.
The Lord is your gardener.
That's right. And it works out quite well. Certain times of year, those leaves are gone, and I didn't blow them.
Yeah, but the chickens complain sometimes, don't they?
That's a good plan you have, Claudia.
They help tread things down.
Yeah.
It's a good place to rescue animals as well, which I do quite frequently out there. Now, that's why I've always liked a lot of growth around me. I'm not living in these deep woods that I live in because I somehow wanted to clear a pattern and make the woods look like me. I live there because I like the way the woods are. So I'm enjoying the woods. I open my door and I'm in the woods. I love that feel. Not woods that I've built, but woods that are there.
Right.
That's me. I've just always had that element of growing up in Africa had a lot to do with that, I'm sure. So I imagine if you did any interior design from me, it would probably have a Tarzan region in it somewhere.
A couple of leopards in the bush.
You got to compare growing up in Africa with growing up in Argentina.
I mean, no doubt.
You could
very similar.
You could you and your lady Michi could have an hour discussing the different styles.
Oh, no doubt.
Of growing up in your different environments.
Like you were saying, the growth, actually, the plant, the vegetation is undoubtedly very similar.
It is, and nature has a way of doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And some of our clients just call for us to clean up the woods, not make them like anything,
right,
but just make them so that they can actually walk through them and enjoy them more. So sometimes we'll just clear underbrush and put a bench in a very mm-hmm. carefully considered spot,
right,
where we do let nature continue to do what she's doing. And we just enhance it a little.
Yes.
And one thing that's really being prevalent now or being prevalently seen in interiors is, of course, the outdoors coming in. And in one aspect or one way it's coming inside or through some really great wallpapers that are stone. We actually have, what is it? Is it granite or what is
it? We have slate. We have mica that actually go on the walls.
How wonderful. I love that.
And they're papers, and it's the actual stone, and they're thin enough veneers
amazing.
That they're pliable. Bamboo wallpaper panels.
And they even make them to where they're adhesive now, right?
Yes, that's what a wallpaper.
I've noticed some of that, yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because I remember the old day when you used to have to roll that glue on the back of the paper.
Oh, that's
right. Forget about that. I'd never get that down.
You still may have to do that with these. They are a paper back or some kind of a synthetic back, but an actual slate veneer or bamboo veneer, actual wood veneers that make the room look like it, whatever you want it to look
right.
like.
Right. Extraordinary. Amazing what this day has for modern inventions, especially with the computer age. It's quite extraordinary. And
one of our most popular papers is the glass bead wallpaper, which we show in our restroom, our powder room at the studio.
Explain that, glass bead.
It's actually little tiny glass beads that are adhered to the backing, and it goes on. It is a commercial wallpaper, and it comes in, something like 25, 30 colors, and it adds a depth and a dimension that pulls the light in, so it's just wonderfully reflective, and it really gets a lot of oohs and ahs
when they come into the studio. I'm thinking that, just imagining it. Well, on that note, I'd like you to give us your contact information, anything you're willing to give to the public to contact you by. Let's not forget that before the hour ends.
Okay, we are Defining Design, Mishy McCoy and Carol Adcock. We are located at 6141 Sunset Lake Road in Fuquay Varina. We are surrounded by Adcock's Nursery. We are located in the little farmhouse with the gate.
Do we have a website?
We do have a website, www.definingdesignnc.com. And our phone number is 919-552-9930. And you can contact either Mishy or myself at mishy@definingdesignnc.com or carol@definingdesignnc.com.
Well, good. Let's bring it to a wrap. Any closing comments?
I'd like to mention that our studio hours may be a little erratic because if we have clients, we go to them when they want to see us.
Sure.
And so the studio may be closed during the week when you want to drop by. So we do recommend either calling or if you are going to be willing to risk it, if the gate is open, come on in. We're at the studio.
Perfect.
But generally, we're there from Tuesday through Friday from 11 to 4 o'clock and by appointments, of course. We welcome those.
Wonderful. Well, ladies, thank you for being on. And in conclusion, let's go to Bob Crowley one more time, my sponsor here for Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater with the Apex Arts Council. From, give us any closing comments.
Well, from the Apex Arts Council, I just want to let anybody know that if you want to take a look at what we're doing or what programs we have a beautiful website there, www.apexartscouncil.org, or go to our Facebook page, and we are there as well. So definitely something you want to do, and I'll hand it back to Claudio.
And Bill, I want to thank you so much for helping. I'm sorry I didn't lay out a better plan for us to work the show this morning.
Well, I think everybody heard the conversation. The show has been recorded. It's always a treat to work with you, Claudio, and I'm sure your listeners will be tuning in next Tuesday. Is there a show next Tuesday?
I should be back. I think Rocco will be back, and I think the game plan right now is we're going to do a show of just music. Rocco plugging music he likes, me plugging music I like, sort of a DJ, smooth, easy-listening music, something you can play at a party.
A nice, quiet Tuesday morning. Okay,
right.
Well, thank you for the chance to work with you today and meet your wonderful guests.
That's been my pleasure, and thank you very much.
We'll sign off and talk to you next week.
Until next time, cheers.